The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is from the 10th chapter of John, beginning at the first verse and reading as follows, in Jesus' name. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Grace and peace to you all, in Jesus' name, amen. John says they did not understand what he was saying to them. He was talking to them about life and having it abundantly, and perhaps this is why they didn't understand. Life is something we think we know all about until we start talking about it, and then it seems the more we talk about it, the less we understand it. Will you and I understand what Jesus is saying today? This is the challenge of our meditation this morning. Well, Jesus took another run at it, and he explained quite explicitly, "I am the door by which the sheep enter." And this was an image known well by everyone. "If anyone enters by me," said Jesus, "he will be saved and will go in and out," that is freedom, "and he will find pasture," that's sustenance. So freedom and sustenance and life, life abundant. For most of us today, a door is a door is a door. And while doors do play an important function in our daily lives, we don't pay much attention to them, especially the kind of door to a sheep enclosure that Jesus is talking about and claiming to be. So, we have to first think about doors for a moment and ask, how is Jesus the door? A door, as we know, is primarily a place of entry. Without a door, we would have only walls and fences. We're surrounded by walls this morning. Fortunately, there are doors by which we entered so that we didn't have to climb through the windows or break in. A door is the place of entry. And Jesus is the door in this sense, certainly, that he is for us the point of entry to knowing God and to new life and to salvation. Between us and God stands an impenetrable wall of separation that we cannot get over, and we can't get through it, and we can't get around it, not by any human wisdom or effort anyway. There is no way we can ever scale the wall or find our way to God. If we're ever to know God, he has to take the initiative. We can't. He has to come to us since we can't come to him. He has to reveal, disclose himself to us, or we will never know him. And the good news of the gospel is just that. In Jesus Christ, the eternal Word took on flesh. We sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." He came over the wall. And he has become the door through this impenetrable wall. He is the one by whom, in whom, through whom God comes to us and provides the entrance. This is why Jesus also said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." Again he said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him." So, who is Jesus? He is the door. As C.S. Lewis said, "Jesus is either a lunatic or a liar, or he is the Lord." That's our choice in life. You can call Jesus a lunatic for saying he is the door. You can call him a liar, or you can acknowledge him as such and say he is the Lord. And the ringing affirmation of the New Testament and of the church down through the centuries has been exactly this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, it follows that a door is also the provided way of entry. We didn't have to break a window to get in here this morning. We didn't have to climb down the chimney, because there was provided for us a way of entrance, a door, which means that we were expected here. We are invited to enter. Jesus is the door God provided. And there isn't another. Scripture says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There just isn't one. God is expecting you home. He's provided the door. God will welcome you home. Jesus is the door he has provided. And we must note a third thing about doors, which is the metaphor Jesus used and which we're examining. The first was a door is the place of entry. And the second thing I said was that it is the provided entrance for us. And the third thing, that a door also serves to shut out as well as to invite in. But we may say, well, how can that apply to Jesus? Doesn't God love the whole world? And didn't he give his son to die for all? Yes, he did. But the good news of the gospel has a sense of urgency about it, and it is serious when it calls us to repentance, to turn around and to believe in Jesus. We're not to dilly-dally. God doesn't know any other time but now, or any other day but today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. You know, there's no sadder words in human history and experience than the words, "too late." Think of a son racing through the night to get home in time. His father is dying. He wants to talk. He wants to hear words of forgiveness from his father. And as he races up the driveway, the door opens, and his mother says, "Son, you're too late." Or think of a father. The house is on fire. He gathers his children together to get them outside to safety. He gets outside and he counts, and one of his children is missing. He turns to run back into the house and rescue her. But the firemen say, "It's too late." In the parable of the 10 bridesmaids who were invited to the marriage feast. Jesus told us about 5 that were wise and 5 who were foolish. The foolish made no preparation for the bridegroom's delay. He came, but they weren't there because they had to run to town to buy oil. They came back too late. The wedding had happened. Then they knocked on the door. They pleaded, "Open to us." But the bridegroom said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." The door that was open to them was now shut. And then that other parable, and there are others, of the king who gave a wedding banquet for his son, and the guest came without a wedding garment. The king had him cast out. He was not prepared for the festivities. Doors can shut us out as well as invite us in. In the book of Revelation, among the letters to the 7 churches, Jesus says to one of the churches in Philadelphia, "I am he who shuts and no one can open, and opens and no one can shut." So let's beware of this silliness today that says, there's no urgency, there's no hurry. Eat, drink, be merry. Mañana, tomorrow is good enough for me. You can do it then. You can get serious about God and your salvation tomorrow. Remember the rich fool? "This night your soul will be required of you." It's the clear teaching of Scripture that if we will not have Christ as our Savior now, we will have him as judge later. So, one of the ways we understand what Jesus is saying, and that's our assignment this morning, is to examine this metaphor he used, "I am the door." That means I am the place of entry, it means he is the provided entry, and it means he is both judge and savior. The door swings both ways. But let's move on. There is another way we can unpack what Jesus is saying so we are not like the disciples who did not understand. We could ask, what was the context in which Jesus said this? What was the situation that triggered these words? In the preceding chapter, chapter 9 in John, we have that beautiful story of the man who was born blind, whose sight Jesus restored. And you recall how he was questioned by the Pharisees and the wonderful testimony he gave to Jesus who had restored his sight. But the story ends with the man being cast out of the synagogue. That is, he was excommunicated. He was expelled from the household of Israel. And now he is without access to the God of Israel. He is an outsider to God's flock, the sheep of his pasture. Well, Jesus heard about this, and he went looking for the man. And he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" That is the title for the Messiah. "Do you believe in the Messiah who is to come?" The man replied, "Well, tell me who he is so that I may believe in him." And Jesus replied, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you now." The man replied, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Now, it was immediately after this incident that Jesus began this discourse or discussion about being the door. As much as to say to all who could hear him, the Pharisees who expelled this man are not the gatekeepers to life and to salvation. I am the door. I am He. I find this especially relevant today. Jesus claims that He is the door. He never said, I am a door, as though there are many others. But it's becoming more and more fashionable today and politically correct to embrace the religion of tolerance and multiculturalism that pushes Jesus off the center of stage and makes room for any God you find acceptable, whatever works for you. We're being told, even by theologians and denominational leaders who should know better, that there is nothing unique about Jesus that can't be found in other religions as well. The smart guy or wise guy slogan today seems to be, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm a spiritual person. As though being a spiritual person is the same for being a Christian. We are in grave spiritual danger today if we no longer know where the door is. The door that God provided and promised. So, let me share yet a third and final way for us to understand what Jesus is saying. We've looked at the meaning of the metaphor, the door. And second, we've looked at the context which gave rise to this discourse. But there's a third way we can approach Jesus' words, and probably this is the most simple of all. I want you to listen to what a traveler to the Holy Land wrote about her journey there with her friend. I quote, "We reached a high ridge overlooking the village of Bethlehem, and there we found a sheepfold and went right in to inspect it. It was not long before the owner appeared. 'This is your sheepfold?' my friend asked. 'Yes.' 'And this is where the sheep sleep?' she asked. He nodded his head. 'But you have no gate, no door to the fold. How do you close up at night?' The old man looked as if we should know better than that. 'I am the door,' he said with emphasis, and gathering up his loose robe around his ankles, he was down in a moment, squatting in the doorway. His back was against one post, his feet against the other, his knees drawn up. 'I am the door,' he repeated. 'I keep watch. If thieves or beasts try to enter, they must deal with me.'" And there we have what Jesus was referring to in that day and in that time to those people when he said, "I am the door." Unlike you and me who have to ask, well, how is he the door? Jesus' followers knew what he meant. He meant he was the one who places himself between us and all that would destroy us, so that all the destructive powers of sin and death and the devil must deal with him instead of us. Take, for example, the power of sin. Paul said it so well in the second chapter of Colossians. God took all the charges that stood against us and nailed them to a cross, said Paul, thereby putting an end to them. And then again, Paul wrote in Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Between us and our sin is Jesus, the door. So that when the accuser or even our own sinful hearts condemn us, we can say, you'll have to take that up with Jesus, because he has shut that door forever. Isaiah said, behold, I am he who blots out your transgressions, and I remember your sins no more. Jesus is the door that invites in and also shuts out. And we as Christians love to sing, as in the hymn, When Peace Like a River. The second verse says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Or we can take the matter of death, the ringing affirmation of the New Testament. The message to you and to me today is not, God loves you, so be nice, but rather, death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Between us and death stands Jesus, the door, who opens and none can shut, and who shuts and none can open. So that when persecution or sickness or adversity or death itself comes, our confidence turns to him who has shut that door forever. Jesus says that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. He called it eternal life. And what is that? Well, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, this is eternal life, that they know thee and him whom thou hast sent. Now, he didn't say, this is going to be eternal life someday after you die, then you will enter eternal life. No, he said, this is eternal life. Something that begins here and now when they know you, the Father, and him whom you have sent. And how can we ever know that, the Father? We know it through Jesus, the door, whom God provided that we may enter life eternal. When Jesus opens to us the door to abundant life, he opens the door to all our tomorrows, so that we needn't be anxious about tomorrow and what it will bring, because we know that when tomorrow becomes today, our shepherd will be there as he is today. I have a plaque, it's written in Norwegian, that I bought when I was in Norway, and it says, Ver ikke redd for i morgen, Gud allerede der. And it says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, God is already there. And you already know him, because Jesus is the door. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, one true God, life without end. Amen.